called at work, 48-hour notice, opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Post Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Maddox Farm and in the schools within the time limit prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of
the United States of America, to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Balderman?
Here.
Mrs. Bissell? Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Carey? Mr. Patani?
Here.
Mr. Hovater? Mr. Lefredo? Mr. Melancholy?
Here.
Mr. Moran?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mr. Serena?
Here.
Barbara Bodner?
Here.
Edward Gunnell?
Here.
Mary McCarthy? We have quorum. Mission statement. Maddox Farm School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes.
Yes.
I recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the special action meeting of April 19, 2023, and the combined committee of the whole, regular public meeting, and public hearing on the 2023-2024 school district budget and the closed executive session of April 25, 2023. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exist. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Cadani. Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell? Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Melancholy?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Abstain.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Abstain on the 19th, yes on the 25th.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Student Board Representative report.
Okay, so for Student Council, we had our Manisco Majesty. We brought that back for the first year, and it was a lot of fun. One of our old friends, Jay Kylos, he won, so he's our Manisco Majesty for this year. And Teacher Appreciation Week was last week. Then Junior Prom was last Thursday, May 12th, and I know friends of mine that went said that it was a lot of fun. And then we're preparing for Senior Prom, which is coming up on June 1st. And right after that is a senior class trip to Six Flags on Tuesday, June 6th. And finally, our Warrior Pride Flag Sale fundraiser, it's still going on. And that's been a pretty good success so far, so we're excited about that. And for spring sports, we have the lacrosse teams, baseball, boys tennis, and track are all moving forward into the short conference. And we'd just like to thank Mr. Bramley for all he's done for spring sports with the new referendum. I know track especially, we really appreciate it, so thank you.
We have 100 students participating in track now.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Really, it's come a long way.
Yeah, definitely.
And both he and the coach met with us, Pete and I, just yesterday, mm-hmm. to talk about getting some running lanes for the new indoor facility,
mm-hmm.
and moving the high jump, no? Yeah.
Yeah, high jump, long jump pit.
And high jump and long jump pit up behind the football field. He's got some great ideas, and I'm glad to see it taken off like that. You know, I wish, and we tried before I came to create a track here, but it's just something that's just not doable with the land we have. But the facility that we'll have when we're done with the building, I think is going to be really neat. And it just shows how track has taken off with 100 students participating. That's awesome. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And then in terms of Key Club, we still have the same things going on monthly or weekly for the homework helpers, which is every Wednesday with Mrs. Kopeck. And then we have the Massillon Elementary School PTO meeting, which kids can get hours for babysitting while those meetings are going on. And we also had the Jenkinson Ed Club, which we were also able to offer hours to our Key Club students through that. And then coming up, we have the Massillon Backyard Crawl, which volunteers are needed to for timekeepers and to assist food, throwing out plates and water bottles. And this is May 20th from 3 to 7:30 p.m. We still have the Church of Brielle, in which Pastor Lou is looking for one volunteer on Sundays from 9:30 to 11:30. And then lastly, we have the Massillon River Yacht Club Carnival, which is on June 10th, and we have two shifts available for anybody who wants to help out with that. And we got our last monthly meeting today, so our Key Club hours are going to be due, I think, by the end of this week, but students can still participate in these events even though it's coming to an end, and the hours that they get at the end of this year are going to transfer over next year.
What are you looking forward to the most as the year winds down? In the next few weeks, exams?
I'm looking forward to being able to be in class without the AP, because most of my classes are AP classes, so it's kind of just chilling out. We still have our, you know, our final projects that we're working on, but it's fun to be able to be in classes with the teachers in like a setting that's not always teaching, but it's more just talking to them and your friends while still working on projects and stuff.
Good. So. And what are you looking forward to now as we wind down?
I think I'm excited for prom week, just that whole week, and then coming back for our class trip. I'm excited for the beginning of June.
So. Okay. Are you both planning on being at the June meeting? At that meeting, so I don't surprise you, I'm going to ask you if you could, you tell me what your most memorable high school moment was.
Okay.
Okay? Did you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Great job, by the way. Proud of you.
Presentations?
Sure.
Shall we go to the coach?
Again, reporting us the opportunity to put children first and starting our board meetings as we usually do by recognizing great accomplishments, either athletically or academically, of our student body. And tonight, as we look at those students who have received recognition, we focus on the reasons why the students of the month were selected. But as I look at these words on the screen, I'm reminded of the fact that I'm going to say 95% of our student body act as role models. They're academically motivated, and they demonstrate leadership. To be chosen monthly as those that stand out when we have a student body that is so successful says a lot. So the children that are here this evening, I want to compliment you for being here, for being students of the month, being selected, and parents, you did a heck of a job. You'll be here. I want to thank you for everything that you've done. Makes my job so much easier. Okay. With that, the Massillon Board of Education will have to congratulate Massillon High School seniors, Katie Deakins. And you receive a medal, Wally Bucks, I think, right? And a certificate of appreciation. And if I could, I want to read the tongue slide. Thank you. In school, Katie is a member of the soccer team, winter and spring track, student council secretary, National Honor Society secretary, Key Club treasurer, Welcome Warriors. Welcome Warriors in their orange shirt, which I really like the orange, but I didn't have that. Did a great job. Mrs. Kenny did a wonderful job. Mrs. Kenny's here. Mrs. Kenny did a great job developing the Welcome Warriors concept. Environmental Club, Model UN, Spanish National Honor Society, Math National Honor Society, History National Honor Society, Science National Honor Society, Academic Academy of Health Careers. You had a wonderful high school experience with all those National Honor Societies. That's great. Outside of school, Katie volunteered at the Massillon First Aid Squad, National Honor Society, Key Club, and Environmental Club. Katie's favorite subject is biology, and her favorite teacher is Mr. Chang. Why Mr. Chang?
He just makes the class really fun. He teaches physics, and it's a pretty hard class, but he makes it easy to understand.
My question to you with that is, I took physics. Mm-hmm. Physics wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. How can you make that fun?
Well, he makes the problems he makes the problems fun, and he goes through them and can understand them better.
That was profound. He makes the problems relevant. That makes such a difference, right? There's real world stuff. Awesome, Katie. Thank you very much. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School junior student, Jocelyn Gajardo. Jocelyn? Jake's favorite subject is math. His favorite teacher is Mr. Bus. You know, I'm going to ask him, why Mr. Bus?
He makes learning fun.
How does he make learning fun?
He makes it enjoyable.
Okay, I know that you talk about surfing and all, relate that to.
He doesn't have a lot of topic.
Okay, I can see him going a little off topic in a very energetic way.
Sure. Exactly.
Yeah. And that makes it fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Jake. Manasquan Board of Education lesson graduate, Manasquan High School freshman student of the month, Brandon Johnson. Brandon. Yes. In school, Brandon is a member of the football team, spring track team, and finance academy. Who's your favorite teacher in the finance academy? I have somebody in my mind. That's exactly who I was going to say. Now, he's not here tonight, so you can be honest with him. I know you would be anyway. Is he really that funny?
I mean, by accident, just kind of excuses.
He's funny by accident. He doesn't think that, though. He thinks he's a stand-up comic. It's not. It's all by accident. I like that. Outside of school, Brandon enjoys hiking, biking, and computer programming. Brandon's favorite subject is intro to engineering, and his favorite teacher.
She's just really chill. She's patient, so you don't understand something. She walks you through it.
Good. She's very patient. Thank you. That's a great thing to say about a teacher. Brandon Johnson. In recent years, researchers have discovered something that may seem obvious, but for many class sizes, textbooks, the teaching method, the technology, or even the curriculum, is the quality of the teacher. The Manasquan Board of Education wants to congratulate Manasquan High School Teacher of the Month, Lawrence Chan, selected by Katie Beavis. What's physics teacher? Okay. The Manasquan Board of Education wants to congratulate Manasquan Elementary School Student of the Month, Tess Generelli. Tess? School, Tess is a member of the Student Council. Congratulations. Jazz band, National Junior Honor Society, gifted, talented, and common. Outside of school, Tess enjoys spending time with friends, volunteering, working out, and playing guitar. Well, she needs to bring it with her. Ask her about something. Her favorite subject is English, and her favorite teacher is Mrs. Ward. Why Mrs. Ward?
I actually haven't had her as a teacher for English.
Each day, teachers come to school ready to tackle a job that is critically important. And today's society even more important. Extraordinarily complex, often joyful, and at times heartbreaking. In essence, teachers help others to become their best selves, and I can think of no more important work. With that, the Manasquan Board of Education wants to congratulate Manasquan Elementary School Teacher of the Month, Ms. Kimberly Ward. She has it on here, and she never marks me. I'm kidding. Mrs. Ward, I hope. Boy, you come back again tonight. Great, I want to read that. Mrs. Ward has been my homeroom teacher for 2 years, and despite never being taught by her, she has always been able to put a smile on my face. That is so sweet. I really appreciate how genuine, kind, and funny she is, and she definitely has made middle school a lot better.
I have to say that is the most. I have no words. I really do. That was beautiful. So thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. That's my job.
And that's
right.
You are.
That's my job. So.
This is Ward. Is Jeffrey Fleischman here tonight?
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not. He won the New York Times 50-second video contest honorable mention.
What?
I just think it was outstanding. And we wanted to recognize him this evening. He couldn't be here, so hopefully in the future we can recognize him again. But I just wanted to bring everyone's attention. I think the New York Times is a good newspaper. I read it on occasion. I can't say I read it every Sunday. Get it? And just to be an honorable mention in that regard, so many students across the country. And with that, that concludes our presentation this evening. But before you please stay and watch my directors with their presentation if you'd like. But we're going to take a 3 minute break so that we can have a cookie before you leave, or if you stay, and coffee, because I just don't want those cookies left. They're great cookies. So have some cookies and take a couple home. That's we have a whole bunch today. Okay? Thank you.
Our reports from our directors, and we'll start with the Director of Curriculum and Instruction. Thank you, Mr. Capola.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, just some quick updates as to where we are with some of the information that we presented to you regarding our new literacy program. at the elementary school, the Great Minds curriculum, Wit and Wisdom, and GEOs. And we were very proactive in our rolling out of the program that will start next year. What we were able to do this year, we were able to schedule a full-day professional development on March 24th for all of our teachers as they were, you know, looking forward to kind of getting used to the materials and the resources, the digital platforms. So we had a very successful day. We were also able to start getting materials and digital access for our teachers. So again, they could start planning for next year. There's been a lot of great questions that have come up. And we felt at the elementary school that it was important for us not to wait to the summer to begin the professional development and to give that access, because obviously teachers have different things going on, and a lot of times that causes a kind of a stretch and not so much a great planning situation over the summer. So we were able to get the PD in, and again, the teachers are very excited about the program. We are looking to offer one more online training for the program before the summer. And then as we get to the summer months, we are going to ask teachers to come in and start planning their specific units for grade levels. So we're in a really good place, and we're very excited about the new program. Our Summer Warrior Academy for incoming freshmen, we're just finalizing plans for that. We're in the process now of getting the information up on the website. We've had a lot of success with the program since we started it, I believe it was 3 years ago. We've conducted parent surveys. We have very positive feedback. We're offering programs in English, science, and math. It gives the incoming freshmen an opportunity to meet our teachers, to become familiar with the school, to meet our guidance counselors and the guidance department, to meet Mr. Goodall and our administration. We're going to run it as we did the last couple of years, the first 3 weeks of August, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we're very excited about that. We'll be pushing out the registration information to the elementary school, and we'll be getting that information out to the sending district as well. We're also planning for summer curriculum writing. We have some really great courses coming up at the elementary school. Again, we're looking to expand the Project Lead the Way program. For the middle school, it's called a Gateway program. We're offering two courses, app creators and medical detectives, that will be available to students, so we're excited about that. We have some new courses here at the high school that we'll be writing over the summer as well. And again, that's just going to allow us to meet our students' needs and interests the best that we can. So we will we'll have a curriculum writing training at the end of June, and then over the course of July, we meet with teachers as they write and revise curriculum, and we prepare to submit that curriculum for the Board of Education review in August. So we'll keep you updated with that. Also, an update on the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program application. We will be finalizing the application by the end of this week. We have one more meeting with Antrina Leith. Ms. Leith is our IB consultant. So she has been reviewing the application with Ms. Kenny and Mr. Goodall and myself. That's been an interesting process. We're excited about that. Once we are approved with the application, we will start rolling out a PD plan. And I know that Mr. Goodall has talked to the high school staff about the program and what that's going to entail in terms of timelines and everything else. So we've had some really good conversations with teachers who've been interested. And again, between the visits that we've had and the information that we've gotten, in meeting with Ms. Leaf from International Baccalaureate, we're in a good place. So again, that application will be submitted by the end of this week. And finally, our gifted and talented program, which has been evolving at the elementary school, our eighth graders participated in a poetry slam last month, which was really exciting. They got to write some original poems and perform with some schools throughout the county. Ms. Reith took the students up to Middletown, and they had a great time up there, and really got a lot out of the experience. So that was a nice extension and really a nice celebration of the program that we've put together and enhanced over the last year. So lot of great things going on, and we're you know, looking to continue it and continue the work over the summer. So a lot of good things going on.
Our Warrior Summer Program, we just defined our purpose in that and the subject areas we cover from our sending district reps so they know.
Sure. So the again, we're gonna offer English, we're gonna offer math, and we're gonna offer science, and it's really gonna be like a two-pronged approach. A lot of it is talking about the certain subject areas, and in English we talk about the different kinds of writing, and you know, when, as we get to science, we've done a lot of lab work, fun lab work that Ms. Browning has offered, but it's also a way for our teachers and our administrators to talk about the transition to high school and what it means to be successful in high school in terms of preparation, in terms of you know, managing your schedule, in terms of being involved in athletics and extracurriculars, and managing that along with your academics. So it really gives students a jump start as to what they can expect in high school. I think just becoming familiar with the building and the staff and those expectations it's really been a nice lead-in to our freshman orientation at the end of August, which Ms. Kennedy and Guidance, they do a great job with, and we get a lot of, those students have gotten a lot of momentum as they've begun their freshman year. Again, the feedback that we've got through surveys in the last couple of years from parents has been very positive.
And we'll have as many teachers in that program as we need. And one of my major disappointments, and I know we have something that I can't compete with here, and they call that the beach. So, and I got it. But, you know, I asked the Sending Soups as well, and they know, to sort of push their student body to get actively engaged in this. And it's at no cost to the Sending Districts. We provide it, and if I need two teachers to teach math or three, we'll do that. I think it's a great opportunity for transition. 67% of our students in the high school are from Sending Districts. And out of that 67%, it becomes 100%, they all become warriors by the time they graduate, which is great. They all assimilate. This is actually the first step. So I'd like to see more get actively engaged in that. If you could help me with that, I would really appreciate that. And the other thing, you know, you mentioned the International Baccalaureate. To me, International Baccalaureate is a great opportunity for students because it actually gives them an opportunity to perceive the world through a different lens. It's not just a focus on mastery or upper level learning. It's a focus on studying for a different purpose and understanding the global education process that we have and the world itself. So I think it's a great opportunity for students. And one of the things I'm going to ask you and Leslie, if you could, next year, our focus is to start International Baccalaureate at the
2024-25.
Yes, the 2024-25. Give us a year to plan. When do you go out to the Sending District, Leslie, to bring the message about course selection?
So we go out twice. We actually go out early in the fall, September, October, where we do our push to acclimate the students, explain what we have at Manasquan, and what our new courses are. So we certainly, at that point, will be bringing that to them, explaining that this is coming for them as they hit freshman year. And then our course selections usually start January, February. We actually went out to all of the Sending District schools individually before March 1st this year. So we went out pretty early. To your point with the summer classes, they were put on the list as the tentative classes so that students were able to actually register for those classes if they wanted. So that it would be a similar type you know, situation where we would have students come in and choose classes if they are interested, so we would be able to gauge the interest in it at that point. So pretty early.
And I know we're going to have a coordinator of the International Baccalaureate Program. What I'm going to ask of you, if you would, as we move forward in that year, I really need students to have understanding, and parents, of the difference between AP classes and International Baccalaureate classes. Then understand the value in both, and understand that they can take both if they wanted to. So that's going to take visits to the Sending Districts, and for that particular purpose, and maybe a night here where we can invite the Sending District parents to come and listen. Because I want to have students have the opportunity to, as they make their selections and as they move forward, understand. And what that international baccalaureate diploma can do for them. No, and AP classes are wonderful, but they're for two different purposes. And I think they need to understand that. So I'm very excited about that. So thank you. Anything else, Rick?
That's it.
I see a question to my left. Yes.
The Warrior Academy. Is the schedule for the academy communicated, or will it be to the coaches of the fall sports?
Coaches of the fall sports.
Yeah, because they schedule, the Warrior Academy is a
sure.
prime time for the fall sports practices.
I can work with Mr. Bradley. I can speak with him, you know, before the end of the week and talk to him about those dates.
I mean, it might be unavoidable, but that could be a potential for more participation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we want to avoid that. That's a good point. Good job. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Mr. Cabal.
You're welcome.
Now our Director of School Counseling Services, Ms. Kenny.
Okay. So to kind of follow up on ID and AP classes, we are in the full swing of our college admissions. We have had a tremendous amount of students. Oh,
yeah.
Can we
Go to the slide?
Yeah. Go to the slide. We saw 178 students submit 1,500 applications.
And these are the schools behind me?
These are the schools that the students have been accepted to. So students, you know, obviously choose one school, but they've been accepted to, you know, many, many more than that. And I think it's really such a credit to the teachers here and the curriculums that we have and the rigor of the courses to get to get into some of these schools. I don't know, I follow all about college admissions often, and the amount of admissions applications that colleges are getting right now is just incredibly high. Schools are seeing tens and thousands more applications. So for our students to be getting into some of these top schools is amazing. We have students, you know, anywhere from Auburn to Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, you know, NYU. There are so many schools that the students have gotten into. And they have choices, and I think that that's wonderful too. You know, students who have chosen to not go away, you know, I'm a big fan and a big believer in community college. We have taken the students last week to Brookdale. Anybody who's going to Brookdale Community College, they went, they took a bus, they went to the Wall campus, they all took their placement tests, and then they were all outfitted with the information that they need to successfully register for classes. So we have a whole group of students who are already set to go to Brookdale. In addition to the students who are leaving to go to
Can you have school. Three slides like this. This is just the first slide, right?
Yeah, there's a there's
first
two
slide?
Slides, I believe, yeah.
Oh, I saw three in my PowerPoint.
Yeah. But some of the schools are pretty amazing. I mean, all of them are amazing. And I, like I said, I think the fact that some of these schools, you know, I've heard from other people, you know, they haven't gotten acceptances from a lot of the schools because of the enrollment is pretty amazing.
And that's a tribute to not only the children and the parents, but to our staff as well.
Absolutely.
The parents do a great job in our communities. And the children are wonderful, mm-hmm. as we saw tonight. And our staff is beyond reproach. Our staff really did a nice job. So
we hosted, a couple weeks ago, we hosted our annual college planning night. And that's always a great night. On a Monday night, we had 90 people in attendance. It was the first night that we have been back in person since COVID. So that night consists of college representatives coming out, and we do a panel discussion, and it's really important to hear what they have to say in terms of college admissions. Prior to that, them having a discussion, we brought in a set of people who work with the SAT. Part of the, we want to inform our parents, our families about the changes for SAT. Beginning next spring, the SAT is going completely digital. So we will no longer have the option of doing the SAT on paper and pencil. So we want to inform the parents a little bit about what to expect and what their students who are planning to begin taking the SATs, what that trajectory should look like. Because I think it's really important. We are going to be giving the PSAT. That will be digital to get students kind of used to that. Some of our AP courses that we just gave are also digital, so it's kind of, it's coming, whether we're ready for it or not, it will be here next spring, and so you want parents to know that that's to be expected. Additionally, we finished giving our AP exams this last 2 weeks. We gave 647 exams. I expressed to Dr. Cation how wonderful the field house was to have our exams in that location. The students had their own entrance. It was quiet. It was set up for them. It was really, you know, a really great experience. Having gone to all different places to test, to have a separate location like that was wonderful. And we easily were able to put, you know, 104 students in there for the AP history. Some of those exams were online, and we had no problems with that. But students really liked the fact that they were taking their English and their computer science on their computers. The other ones were still paper and pencil. This week, we are also in the midst of NJSLA for grade 9. We did our math today. English is tomorrow. And then next Monday and Tuesday, we have NJSLA for grade 11 students. And then sprinkled throughout, we have makeups for all of those. Basically, we are, you know, kind of winding down, looking at all of our students, but most of the students, the May 1st deadlines have all kept, you know, coming on, so students are aware, well aware of where we're going. It's the final push. We let the students know to finish on their best note, then we will send all the transcripts to the colleges of their choices, and then we wrap it up on June 7th with our annual Senior Awards Night, which is our scholarship night for the students. It's Thursday night, and we've been holding it in the gym set up, so it's been good.
Yeah, good.
Yep. So, a lot of things going on.
Any questions? Thank you, Ms.
Cannon.
Ms. Stephan.
Hello. Hi, everybody. So every 3 years, the department, Special Ed Department of Education, does a statewide survey that looks at, it's an effort to collect information that will allow the DOE to enhance special education program services and supports. So this is year one of a three-year cohort that Manasquan was randomly chosen to be part of that. We will be supporting the DOE by providing information about special education families, and then helping to get the word out that this survey will be coming out, if they could please participate so that we could you know, provide professional development and support the families throughout the state. We are continuing to do our parent nights. We have two more coming up for the to wrap up the end of the school year. We've had, this will be our fourth CPAD meeting, and then our fourth transition meeting for our Academy and CLI families. And the Arc of Monmouth is coming out to both. When they meet with the CLI and Academy families, they'll really be talking about those transition services to adult life. And then for our special ed CPAD community, it will be really letting them know what supports and services are available to families that don't necessarily have students with developmental disabilities, but then also have students that need supports and services in other areas, that they are extending their services to that population of students as well. Knee-deep in planning for next year, looking at programs, staffing, deciding on what professional development we're going to be offering over the summer, focusing on co-teaching for next year, that model, really ensuring that the co-teachers have an opportunity to work collaboratively before they start the school year, providing some professional development and training. Also extending that to the sending district. I had talked to the superintendents and directors there, and we thought that that would be a great opportunity for our staff to kind of work together collaboratively, so hoping to get that running. And then also looking at some of our intervention programs that exist in the lower and the upper elementary, looking at recertifications and ensuring that everyone is ready to provide those support services to our students in the fall.
Question? Guys, thank you very much. Well done.
Thank you.
That concludes our presentations.
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, The board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard on agenda items? Would anyone like to be heard on items not on the agenda? Seeing no one, we'll move to the discussion items.
Alrighty then. It's now time for committee of a whole. As we saw from our presentations, I think that we're at a point where our one-to-one is really giving us a lot of benefits. As the SATs go digital, and as the AP tests also being offered digital formats, I want to thank Mr. Place for what he's done with our one-to-one initiative. I think every child who goes into the district not only gets a laptop, but you make sure that it works effectively and efficiently, and if it's not, he gets one the same day. So, I mean, we have a bunch of digital natives running around Manasquan who are well prepared for these new initiatives that are coming forward. And it just says a lot for the magic of Manasquan, which you're now a part of when I think of technology. So I want to thank you for that.
It's always magical, especially on testing days.
Regarding education, curriculum, and technology, we did speak about our IB program tonight. We talked about our summer programs. We talked about the 647 children who are taking the AP test. Our personnel we'll be discussing in the executive session. One of the things that I do want to bring to the board's attention is we did get an email, a request from Point Borough. And I just wanted to throw this on the floor for a discussion. I let the Point Borough AD through our AD know that I was going to talk to the board about this first. Point Borough is looking to join the ice hockey co-op with Manasquan and Point Beach. And looking at the numbers in the program, we should have about 22 players returning from this year's team. That does not include any new incoming freshmen. Point Borough will have about 14 players returning from this year's team. Please let me know if there's anything else you need from me. This was from Don. I just needed the numbers from him, but I need to know if there's any appetite on the part of the board to have Point Borough join with Manasquan and Point Beach in the ice hockey co-op that we have. The floor is now open.
The only concern would obviously be, you know, eliminating opportunities for Manasquan students to play ice hockey if you're going to add another 20-something or 14 to 20, five skate at a time. It seems like a pretty prohibitive number.
Well, that's why I brought it here.
Right. I mean, we needed Point Beach at some point or we wouldn't have been able to field a hockey program, but I don't know that we needed, only the hockey coach could really answer that, but I don't know that we want to, you know.
We have 22.
If we're not in a situation where we don't have enough, I don't think we should be adding any more.
Okay. We have 22 returning players. We also have a JV team that's funded and has been funded for the 9 years I've been here by the parents. I believe we do give them uniforms, but they fund the rest.
How many students are on the JV?
How many
students? That's in addition to the 22?
Yeah. That's the addition to the varsity team. I don't think that there are 22 students on varsity team. I'm trying to count from looking at the bench.
I think it's probably 22 in the program.
Yeah, in the program, yeah.
But again,
how many kids are on a hockey team? I don't even know.
I mean, five kids skate.
Well, I know that. How many are on a hockey team?
Yeah, I would say if you had three lines. And
15. There's only 20 guys, 20 kids are on a hockey team, give or take. Two goalies, 18 skaters, give or take.
I mean, I think having 30 something children, students, would just be.
It would give us 36 players skating on the ice.
It seems like it'd be difficult.
You have a lot of kids who aren't skating on the ice. You have a lot of kids who would be sitting on the bench.
Correct.
Well, there'd be two teams. It'd be a JV team and a varsity team.
Yeah, but still two.
Yes.
Did you ask the hockey coaches how they feel about it or not yet?
I most certainly did not, because I'm going to ask you first if it is something that we could talk about. And then if you guys are in favor of it, then I will take it to the ice hockey coach through the athletic supervisor, not through me.
So we don't have a problem putting teams on the ice now?
We do not.
I mean, it's two different considerations to that. I mean, the hockey coach, his considerations aren't the same as the Board of Education.
Exactly. Yep.
Our considerations are for our students. His consideration, or just in general, would be, you know, different. So I think we need to know if we want to enter into a co-op separate from what the hockey coach thinks.
That's why I brought it
first. Because it's about opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with these guys. If we're fielding a team on the ice, and we have enough players to do so, I don't see the need or the benefit of adding another 15, 14 kids.
Co-ops are formed because you don't have enough to represent, not because you want to create more competition to maybe have a different product at the end of the day.
In essence, that's why Point Borough wants to form a co-op, because they don't have enough to field their own team.
Correct.
We felt since we already had a co-op, they would join with us. So,
just out of curiosity, when you say you have 22 kids returning, that's spread through the 4 years. So when you have a varsity and junior varsity, not necessarily everybody's on the varsity.
Yes.
And so theoretically, you would have 36 kids on two teams.
Yes.
Is there a way to do that in which you sit there and say, we're going to focus on the -1 kids making the varsity first, and then I don't know if that's acceptable to them.
Yeah, I don't
if
think they that's can't, fair.
Right, but I don't think that would be fair either.
I think you're creating a problem we don't have.
Yeah.
Because for every Point Borough, hypothetically, for every student that's not a -1 student or a Senate district student, that does, it either doesn't make the team, because I mean it's prohibitive to have too many kids on a hockey team. It's mm-hmm. an expensive sport for the participant. So. I don't know, for all the reasons we already said. I just think we don't seem to be having a problem with numbers. If we did, I think we'd be in a different position like we were when we set the co-op up originally. I think we'd be creating a problem we don't currently have.
Okay, so from what I've heard, I think it's a no.
Yes.
Is that good for everybody?
Yep.
Okay,
yes.
Good. We'll move on.
Thank you.
Regarding policies and regulations for the second reading, we do have one here. I'm going to ask Mr. Place to elaborate on, just so that we. Question? We good? Use of corporal punishment. You can see it's not mandated, but there is a reason why this is there, and I thought that because of the terminology, it warranted discussion. Mr. Place.
Sure. So just to clarify, we are not adopting a policy that provides for corporal punishment.
100%.
We have the current policy on corporal punishment is in place. The substance of that remains the same. These are modifications to the policy Strauss has made published to us to better align with the statute. And it's effectively what it does is, if you read through it, more clearly defines what would be corporal punishment and things that would not be considered corporal punishment. So for example, if a staff member were like breaking up a fight or trying to take a weapon away from a student or something like that, it clarifies those are not considered corporal punishment for the purposes of that policy. It's not any substantive change in what we're doing.
Right. And just to bring to your attention also, because Jesse's up on all the current statutes and regulations and policies that come out from the state. Today there was one that Jesse came in and put on my desk focused on, Jesse, tuition.
Yeah, so just yesterday, I believe just yesterday, the governor signed into law Chapter 61 of issues legislation that addresses non-resident tuition in public schools. And essentially what it does is requires that a board adopt a uniform tuition amount to be approved by the executive county superintendent. The only reason that's kind of significant for us is because the board has talked about tuition rates and half price tuition for siblings and things like that over the years. So as we get clarification on what that law would mean for us, we may need to look at our policy on how that would apply. Because currently the language of that law says a uniform tuition amount. So we'll need to get into that.
Yeah, we're gonna get some clarification on that, and I just brought it up tonight so that you knew, we knew, just in case you read it in the papers or there was anything out there on that. And I would like to see us start September with a uniform tuition amount, whatever that may be, whatever that means, and that we can set as a board. So we will get clarification on that act, and then we'll bring it to you so we have the answers to any questions we have. Any questions on any of the other pieces of policy that we have in here? If not, this brings me to finance. Mm-hmm. Dr. Corley.
Sure. Actually, well, not too much with regard to finance. I'll skip down to the bullet on buildings and grounds and facilities. This relates to our budget that we passed last month. We budgeted for, if you recall, a $55,000 renovation of the football field sod. It was to replace the sod between the numbers on the football field from end zone to end zone, so 100 yards all the way down between the numbers. Budget season happened to coincide with baseball season, and it came to light that maybe we had a higher need on the baseball infield than we did on the football field at the time, or at least the football field, the scope that we originally budgeted for. So we have a recommendation. I think Dr. Cage and I are recommending to you and you guys to consider and ask any questions, but ultimately approve, if you feel it's the right way to go, a kind of pivot from what was originally budgeted to not do the number-to-number, end-zone-to-end-zone sod replacement on the football field, but rather reduce that to a hash-to-hash 100-yard replacement of sod, so just a little thinner, but still going the length of the football field in the highest traffic area, the center of the football field. The money saved on that square footage of sod we wouldn't be putting down on the football field would be invested in the renovation of the baseball infield, which would include bluegrass sod in the grass inner area between the baselines, as well as a renovation. If you're familiar with our baseball field, there's kind of a significant lip at the end of the infield into the outfield. So it includes a regrading and renovation of that lip to make it a little more flush with the ground. So we think that might be a better use of the money and kind of address a higher need area of our grounds and still come in at the same budget we had that we had already in the budget anyway. So
and this is really I think it, at least for me, it brings me to a point where I really don't see exactly how far we've come. I remember discussions that we had at this table where we were looking at a field that we you know, enough speedy dry and talking about sod, talking about turf, talking about a lot of different things. We brought in a company, Evergreen, what's the name of the company?
Natural Green.
And we asked them, if we did sod on the football field, could they give us a plan to follow so that we wouldn't have to be replacing that all the time? And they did. And the field had stayed for how many times we use it, stayed in good repair. So it's at a point where we don't have to replace it from the 20s or whatever we want to do, that we can utilize that money on the infield and still take some of that and put it in, I think it's from the 15-yard line in on the football field and still follow that program that we're following to make sure that the field stays the way it is. So actually, the decision is yours. If you want to just go with the original plan and do the football field, we'll do that. If you want to take some of that sod and put it on the baseball diamond, we'll do that. And it's our suggestion that we move to the baseball diamond because we really feel that's what's really in need right now. Open for discussion.
So the money comes out of the money that we've been putting aside every year for this exact purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And to put a number on the square footage, the original scope of the project was 15,000 square feet of sod on the football field. That's reduced to 9,600 square feet, so then it's getting thinner, less sod, and then 10,000 square feet of sod added to the baseball field.
So when we replace between the hashes, it's going to seamlessly seam together?
We've
had some seam issues across the street.
Yeah, so I would have to get a comment from our... Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously...
I anticipate you'd be able to see some level of difference between the brands.
No, I'll take this beat.
Frank,
yes. I'm going to say yes. I have that much confidence in Natural Green that when I tell them, this is what we really want, they're going to do it right.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah. I just want to make sure that that's... Because there's a possibility that it might not look like that.
There's a possibility.
Right. And to protect the baseball inner part that we're going to resod, are we going to wrap it with something so that it doesn't get trampled?
Well, no, we're going to put a fence around it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To let it grow.
Yeah. I mean, for anybody that doesn't know, the baseball field isn't. It needs this bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was, I mean, it gets to the point where it becomes dangerous. That this is the right time to do it.
And that will be for next season.
Both fields will be playable in the season. Football right. will be playable in the fall, and baseball.
I think that's an important point.
No, it's great. Yeah. But it has to be, the baseball part has to be protected during football season.
Yeah,
because that's when those people walk across. Them.
We could put a snow fence across.
You have to. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
We will, but you've
but
seen.
It has to.
We will, but you've seen football games here.
What if there's a fence around it? It won't matter. You walk on the dirt.
No,
it's the grass
not
that gets
people
beat up.
Walking on it, but
yeah,
that's
but
okay.
The grass gets beat up.
I know. I watch. Yeah. The little guy's throwing in football back
correct.
And forth. Get over the fence. They're going to jump over and get it.
Well,
yeah.
Ample security. Make sure that does.
We'll do the best we can. All right.
Yeah, it needs it. We definitely can move training. Snow fence it off.
So we're all good with plan A?
Plan B.
In my mind, it's plan A. That's what do.
Oh, let's call it plan A now.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it makes sense.
All right, we jumped down to buildings and grounds. Can I go to the superintendent's report?
Yes.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Enrollment 1,457, high school 951, elementary school 506. We met all our fire drill requirements, our bus evacuation drills. As you can see in the high school, April 5th and April 25th, we had our fire drill and evacuation drill, CLI building, the ABA building as well, and in the elementary school. Regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying, there was one incident that was confirmed in the high school this month, and there was no report for the month from the elementary school. Regarding the New Jersey Department of Education self-assessment report, which was done by Mr. Muren, he did a great job with it, by the way. The self-assessment report is for determining grades under the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act. And there are several categories that have to be graded. We have harassment, intimidation, and bullying programs and approaches with a maximum of 15 points, training, the Board of Education on approved HIB policy, maximum 9 points, staff instruction, maximum 15 points, curriculum and instruction on harassment, intimidation, bullying, and related information and skills, 6 points, harassment, intimidation, and bullying personnel being assigned in district, 9 points, school level, harassment, intimidation, bullying incident reporting procedure being followed, according to state statute, six points, HIB investigation procedures, 12 points, HIB reporting, 6 points, and school grade. The maximum school grade that you can get is 78 in the high school, and in the elementary school, we got 78 in both particular categories. So we met all the standards that the state has set up for reporting on harassment, intimidation, and bullying. Any question? I have reported on this before. We report every month. And I did report the findings to you before in a monthly report. And I want to thank Kurt for doing a great job on this. Thank you. Man, I'm sorry, Alexis, I got to get back to my agenda. Now the report from our assistant superintendent, Mr. Place.
Nothing further, you previewed all of them. Your report, so.
That's why we're a team. Right. Thank you for that. And that ends the superintendent's report.
I have a motion to accept the superintendent's report.
Yes, you can.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Balderman.
Mr. Baldwin.
Yes.
Mrs. DeSalle.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Patani.
Yes.
Mr. Milancevic.
Yes.
Mr. Moran.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Harry.
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Mass Fund general items numbers 15 to 24? I have a motion for items 15 to 24. Mr. Balderman, Mr. Catani, are there any questions on those items?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Manasquan Sending District's items numbers 25 to 57? Mr. Serena? Mr. Catani? Does anyone have any questions about these items?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Milancevich?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Harry?
Does anyone have any old or new business they want to discuss? I have one thing I want to raise, so people are aware of graduation. The elementary school is scheduled for Tuesday, June 20th, and the high school is scheduled for Wednesday, June 21st. Last year, we had a lot of board members at both graduations because there were a lot of graduating eighth graders and seniors, so to the extent you can make it, it'd be nice to have a few board members at both of the graduations.
And just let us know your size for your cap and gown. We'll get it out to you for the high school, and make sure you have it in timely fashion.
Can I have a motion to move to executive session?
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Will you guys be taking any further action after the executive session?
Can I have a motion to reconvene? Mr. Casson? Mr. Boulder?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Carey? Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mr. Ruffetto, Mr. Milancevich?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
We have four.
Can I have a motion for the Manasquan personnel item number 61?
Yes.
Mr. Serena? Mr. Catani?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carried.
I have a motion for the Manasquan Sending District, item number 62. Mr. Pellegrino? Mr. Milancevich?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Milancevich?
Yes.
Mr. Moran?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie?
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Absolutely.
Mr. Catani, Mr. Pellegrino?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.